This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What's the tip?
Big boy in a fifth.
Forget it. The fifth goes off at three. We going to the track?
You're listening to Race Day at Fairmont Park on lineupmedia.fm.
And it off.
With a different story on every face.
I'm going to Hawaii! I'm going to Hawaii!
It's falling back.
I'm not going to Hawaii!
Will they make it through?
I like the two horse. It's got front wraps.
Big money on the four horse.
I like the six, that's the horse, that's it.
I always bet on five.
The number one horse.
I like the four, number four, four.
I like the six.
I like the four horse.
And you lay your money down when you cross the line.
Here comes the champ. I mean it, you are the champ. Believe me, you got more guts than you got sense. I love it.
Now your host, Jono Kabinjian.
Welcome back, race fans, to another great show here at FairmontParkPodcast.com, and I got my partner next to me here, Jamie. Jamie, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well, Jono. How are you?
I'm doing great. And Brian, thank you for working the boards. I go to Brian a lot, as you can see. Every time there's an edit, get Brian out here. But, hey, big news this week. I think it happened a couple days ago. They retired Justify.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
It does and it doesn't. I think that they were under the impression that the horse had a little issue with the ankle and that it just wasn't worth it to maybe be greedy and try to run the horse a couple more times, because the horse probably needed one before they entered it at the Breeders' Cup Classic, which was the goal. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it goes back to the old saying, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. They've already won a Triple Crown with this horse, and there's really no definitive amount that they've come to with Coolmore Stud. At least we don't know it. Mm-hmm. The public doesn't. I would say it's probably in the neighborhood of $80 million.
Right.
So I think Baffert and Windstar and I guess China Horse Club were smart in the fact that they said, you know what, this horse has been too good for us. It's undefeated. Let's
sell the horse. Do you think Bill Baffert said that too? Because Baffert, what's he getting out of it? He wants to run it. He wants to keep running it.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's a bonus in there for the White Rat. Mm. I think he's probably getting a kickback on the deal from China Horse Club Windstar.
I'm sure.
But They owe it to that horse to, if the horse is messed up, they owe it to that horse to retire. Undefeated Triple Crown champion. It hasn't happened since 1882 or something like that.
And the fans, I seen it on the horse racing sites, they're not happy about this. They're not happy. But you know what, folks, I'm telling you right now, we talked about this about, I don't know, like six shows ago. I brought it up. Mm-hmm. I said, if that's your horse, what do you got to gain from it?
You have nothing to gain.
You have nothing to gain. Just ride off into the sunset. You see this with like athletes that want to come back, and it just doesn't ever work out the way it's supposed to.
Well, you see with a guy like Floyd Mayweather. Dude, you were undefeated, and you took a UFC fight because you're greedy. You wanted
yeah, but
that
he
money.
Still shined. He still shined. If he would have lost,
he was undefeated in his career, man.
Yeah, and he was undefeated after that fight, too.
You know what I mean?
I'm talking guys like Larry Holmes that came back and just got abused.
Or Favre.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at guys and just shaking your head and going, why? Why? You could have just rode off.
So, do you think it's bad for horse racing that this horse ran six times and is retiring? I think it's bad for people like us that enjoy horse racing that
right.
We're going to the Breeders' Cup at Churchill in November and expected to see the horse, and now
right.
It's kind of a letdown. So now who's the choice?
Well, I don't know about all that right now,
right.
But my point is, if I own the horse, I'm retiring the horse.
Sure.
I'm if I'm a fan, I'm more greedy in the aspect, hey, you know what? I want to see this horse in the classic.
And I think that's what you're seeing on all these websites and horse websites is the fans are, you know, it's more of a greed thing in the fact that they wanted to see the horse run.
Right, right. So. Now, this I don't think Secretariat, I'm not sure after Belmont, did it? Was it retired after that?
It was not retired, I don't think. Not that I know of.
We're going way back, though. Yeah, because the way it opened up in the Belmont, I was thinking, you know what? That's a good retirement right there.
Sure.
Well, I mean, do you really have to run it in the classic or anything like that afterwards?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
And you've been through it and I've been through it, but do you think the hype was as big for Justify as it was, say, in American Pharoah, who actually, American Pharoah lost its first race. It lost at Saratoga at the Travers to, let me think about this, Keen Ice, mm-hmm. which was that Romans or was that, who was that? It was a big upset, though. It was huge.
I remember that.
But
remember
do you that. Remember the, I mean, you remember the hoopla? And, man, that'd be an awesome question. I wish we had it. We had him or some way to connect with him with Mike Smith. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I first got real serious about horse racing was when Zenyatta ran in the Breeders' Cup for number 20 against Blame,
yeah.
who's a great sire, by the way.
Right.
But I remember the hype around Zenyatta. Everybody wanted to see Zenyatta. And Smith would be the perfect guy because he rode Zenyatta and he rode Justify.
Uh-huh.
And he is on record saying that Justify like basically put the icing on his cake for his career.
Right.
But he would know
between the two horses
yeah.
that this horse
I
could
definitely,
be as
yeah.
good as Zenyatta.
I definitely think the hype was bigger for Zenyatta and American Pharoah than it was for Justify.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
maybe it was just because
the first Triple Crown.
Though. Right. We hadn't seen a Triple Crown in
right.
however long, what, since 70 whatever.
I agree.
And then this one happened like right back.
No, I totally agree
yeah.
with that. I totally agree with that because if this was the first time in 30 years or so would Justify doing it,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a lot bigger.
Sure.
But in any case, I think we are in total agreement that if we're the owners, we're looking at this and saying, hey, you know what? You've done everything you're supposed to do. We don't need you to finish second, third, or fourth right now.
Right.
That's it. Bottom line.
That horse cemented its legacy when it won the Triple Crown.
That's it. It's got the kosher stamp on it.
It has the kosher stamp and the $80 million check to certify yeah. the...
I wish we had an $80 million check. It. And you know what? He goes off in studs now. What a great life. What a
cool,
great life
cool
that
more
is.
Stud.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They've got some pretty big ones over
Do
there.
Do you think it will hook up with Zenyatta? That'll be a hell...
I don't know. That's the interesting thing about, you know, the female horses that they pay all the money for. Like, what was the horse that they just paid huge money for, and they're getting ready to breed it to Arrogate.
Jesus.
It was a Mike Smith horse.
God.
I'm drawing a blank right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, me too. You just put me on a...
But they pay like $20 million or $25 million for that horse,
something like that, man.
No, it was $11 million.
It was eleven. Yeah, it was outrageous.
Totally drawing a blank on that right now.
Any case, folks, if you want to chime in on the show, send us your questions and we'll check them out. And why not? I mean, this is good stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I had some picks going into last Tuesday. This Tuesday, Wednesday's card, I had some picks at one with Woodbine and another one at Del Mar. I gave it on the show.
Yeah.
And I got second in one. I got two out of three got blown in the last leg of the Woodbine one. I went with Hernandez. And at our Del Mar one, I picked Jerry, what's his name?
Hollendorfer.
And he ran third or fourth on that one. So, you know what, guys? Just hang in there with me. I'm going to give you guys some winners. It's bound to happen here. It's early. It's early at Del Mar.
Delmar's wide open right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Delmar's wide open. And did you see what they're offering? If you're a foreign horse coming into the state, they're giving you 30% more.
Just like NYRA did. New York Racing Association had a similar deal when the Oaklawn meet closed. Mm-hmm. If you had a minimum of 15 horses and you would ship to any New York Racing Association track, Belmont, Saratoga, Aqueduct, and your previous race had to be at Oaklawn Park, non-stakes race, you qualify for the 30% bonus, which if you run first, second, third, 30% bonus, and they pay you $1,500 per horse to ship to New York.
That's beautiful, man.
It's a great thing. Yeah. Oaklawn's trying to make plays. New York's making plays, and they're basically cutting out. California's trying to make plays.
Yeah.
And they're basically cutting out, you know, Oaklawn's going to run their meet later this year, right up into the Kentucky Derby weekend. They're going to cut that Keeneland. They're undercutting the Keeneland meet out. So,
is that good or is that bad? I mean, look what happened to Indian tribes when they didn't get along. Everything went to hell. I think that
now they own casinos.
Now they own casinos. Yeah, but in any case, I definitely think that horse racing, you almost have to work in cahoots with one another too. You can't do that either.
Well, I guess you do if you're, you know, Oaklawn's the only game in town in Arkansas. So they don't run a fall meet. They run one meet. They run a meet at the end of January through the Kentucky Derby, and that is their bread and butter. So they probably don't care about Kentucky.
Right, right.
So
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because you always see track states like to keep their horses in, try to keep the invaders out. There's no extra incentive for invaders that make money, Kentucky bred. Making money in the Illinois racing. I mean, it's not
Indiana,
like that.
Indiana's getting real good about that for if you have Indiana registered, you know, horses, bred and foaled. Almost every race in that condition book, and I went through that condition book the other day, just because the money's so good at Indiana Grand right now.
Yeah, West Virginia does the same thing. Yeah, if you're West Virginia bred, they're going to
take care of their owners in the you know, state bred competition.
Right.
They write races for those horses and they want those people to stay in Indiana and they take care of them.
Right. All right, Jamie, we did have some racing. It was a nice day Tuesday. It wasn't that bloody hot. I mean, it was like, 84, 85?
84,
something.
85. Something.
I can live with that and the horses can live with that too. It's now when you're thinking 100, 105, you know what? That's not good. That's not good, and it's not good for anything around the track when a horse has got to run in 105-degree temperature. But in any case, we had some nice temperatures they could have run in. And let's go to race number one. Race number one, we've got a 6-furlong claiming 3,200. And who do we have on top here, Jamie? Talk to me.
We have Giant Sugar Baby on top. Longest shot on the board. Paid.
Was that a surprise?
It was.
It was a surprise for me, too. Ruined everything. But go ahead.
You know, basically in that race, you had Giant Sugar Baby on top of Sing Kitty Sing, which Giant Sugar Baby was Arietta and Ralphie Martinez.
Yeah, Arietta gets on the scoreboard.
How about that?
Yeah.
Sing Kitty Sing, which was a Ralph Martinez horse, was claimed by Teddy Randazzo, runs second. Pataha runs third with Tavares up. And then my 401k plan, Molina and Gerald
Butler. How shocking was that?
Well, you know, the horse reared in the in the gate and
went try to catch them all.
Molina lost his irons. He looked like a rodeo.
Oh, yes, that's all. Yeah, the guy, he just sat there. He just sat there. Yeah,
and credit to Molina, he did a hell of a job after he lost his irons getting that horse back up. But the horse burned all of its ability
and,
up trying to get into the race. And
that's the kind of horse you circle and you say, you know what, I'm looking for this horse again.
And, I mean, if you would have looked at this race and said, and you could have thrown the five out, which you couldn't have, all the speed was the one and the five. The five doesn't get out. The one goes right to the lead and never looks back.
Dude, the five, he's sitting on the horse looking like those old 1910 monkeys sitting on those greyhounds. And this horse is still trying to catch up with the group.
Yeah.
The horse does not want to quit. The horse knows it's got to get there. And I'll tell you what, that's one horse a circle here, and that's my 401k plan. Congrats to Giant Sugar Baby. And that was Arietta and Martinez. The four horse Sing Kitty Sing, and that was Victor Santiago with Teddy Randazzo, and the three horse. You said that pretty good, by the way.
Pataha.
Pataha. See, I would have screwed that up, Brian.
Potato, Brian.
Yeah. He's off the potato guy. Would you leave him alone with the potatoes? All right. And what do we have here? We had the two-horse that scratched, and that was a big scratch. That was a big scratch. That was Flashy Ruthie. Flashy Ruthie. And you know what? Thurman was on that horse. I guess they said, you know what? We got a better shot putting this horse next time out here. So they scratched the two. Then I went with my 401k plan, who moved up the totem pole there. And the four-horse Sing Kitty Sing, that came to be. And then the three-horse here, Pataha. Sorry. So I kind of had it until that my 401k plan looked something weird there. All right, let's move on to race number two. Race number two, we got a 6-furlong maiden claiming 4,000. And what do you got here, babe?
We had the lucky Mrs. Bond, Roman Hernandez.
Yeah.
Convincing win. Led the whole way around and drew off by 5.5.
Yeah.
I didn't even bet this race.
That was Hernandez Lynch. I had that lucky Mrs. Bond on top here. So and the fans bought into it. He went off at a little less than 1.5 to 1. And this horse was just drawing off. It didn't need to whip it or anything like that. Made it look easy.
Nope. And then we had Kingsbury's Dream running second with Uriel Lopez up.
This is where I messed up, because I had Jaded Lace. I had Jaded Lace coming in here. And that was my 8-1 play.
I didn't listen to your show on Tuesday. I was busy. I figured you would have had cinnamon popcorn somewhere in there.
Yeah, well, I had cinnamon popcorn.
You were on that horse
there
for a long time.
Yeah, I know. I gave up on that horse. And hey, how'd you go with that? Did you make any sales on the horses?
We did. We sold we sold one of our horses. For all the Seinfeld lovers out there, we sold a horse named Art Vandelay.
Beautiful.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, nice.
But, yeah, we're...
Are they going to run it? What are they going to do with it?
No, you know what? They're going to use it as a barrel racing horse.
Yeah, that's a good retirement.
Just the horse ran 4 times. It just broke its maiden. I bought the horse and thought I could fix it, and just didn't work out. So we give it, you know, we sell it to somebody that can use it, and we move on and look for stock, man.
That's right. That's one thing about you folks out there that want to get in this business. It's not like the movie Seabiscuit or anything like that. Forget about all that. This is business. You love these horses. You pet them and everything, but don't fall in love with them. And don't name them after your family members. That's crazy. I don't know why people do that. Because you know what? If something happens to the horse, if the horse can't win and all that, you start thinking, why the hell did I name it after my mom and all this and all my kids? And you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. They love that whole romance story. You know, it's not like that.
No, I'm kind of glad that most of the horses I have, I didn't purchase and wasn't able to name. They were already named, so I can talk bad about the people that named them.
Yeah.
Because some of these people are just crazy with some of these names.
The damn other horse I had earlier in the year, last year, Don't Change Trainers. I mean, what the hell kind of name is that? We'll talk
horses
about
in
that.
Saturday.
Horse is in Saturday. All right, let's move on to race number two. Let's see the payouts here, folks.
Yeah.
Race number two, we had a 5-7, $20.60 on the $2 exacta, $1 trifecta, 5-7, $21.60, the $1 daily double, 1-5, $41.50, and the 10-cent super, 5-7, 3-4, $5.69. And congrats to Hernandez and Lynch on that. And second place horse was the 7. The 7 was Kingsbury Dream. Or was that Deem?
Was that Dream?
Dream, okay.
Yeah,
I forgot the R there. Kingsbury Dream, and that's Lopez Childers. And the third place horse here, the 3. Action Attack. I really expected a lot out of him too, and went off at 4-1 to Varus and Childers. That's the work there. So let's move on to race number three. Race number three, we got a long one here. We got a route race, a 1-mile 70, and this is a claiming 3,200.
And the odds-on favorite, he didn't disappoint here. He had the masses betting on him, and he lived up to what he had to do, and that was the two-horse here, Sergeant Green, Santiago Bentler, going off morning line 7-5, ended up at 80 cents to the dollar. Any surprises there, pal?
No, I bet pretty heavy on the two-horse Sergeant Green to win. I figured Fairmount Park owed me one after they took that horse down a couple weeks ago.
Right.
There is no way Sergeant Green was not winning this race.
Well, this one was my exact box play today, and I was really high on Go to the Max. I felt Sergeant Green and Go to the Max will be the ones to just pull away from the pack. And
yeah.
I don't think it happened here. I don't think it happened because the second place horse was the Chotin. Is that Shot Enough to Pop. Shot Enough to Pop, and that was Arietta. Arietta just really ruining a lot of parties.
Finding the money.
Yeah, he's coming in there all right. And that's Shot Enough to Pop, and that was Arietta Frankie Randazzo. And the third place horse was the sixth horse, and that is Go to the Max. And you know what? This was the type of race that I forgot to do. You put something in between. You go you go two all six and a six all two. Why not?
Perfect opportunity.
Yeah, and I blew it. I blew it on that one. And winner was Santiago Bentler. Go to the and then the Shot Enough to Pop. That was Arietta Frankie Randazzo. And the third place horse was Go to the Max, and that was Tavares Durham. Let's see the payoffs on this one. $2 exacta, $13.40. The $1 try, $2.36, $14.40. The 10 cents superfecta, $2.367, $5.42. $1 daily double, $5.2, $4.60. The 50 cent pick three, $1.52, $36.90. Moving on to race number four. Race number four, we got a 6 furlong, claiming 3,200. And I tried to beat the favorite. I wasn't sold on this Dandy Rap at all. I just thought this Dandy Rap horse just did not look good on form. And the morning line people, they get caught up in the Becker Santiago gig, and it backfired on them on this one because I had on top Pink for Me, and Pink for Me really let me down there. I thought this was the great opportunity for Pink for Me, and that was Lopez O'Halloran going off at 92, upset-minded. I thought this horse was going to be flying late, but it was yet another closer, the sixth horse, and that was Runaway Gal with Hernandez. Anything on this one, my friend?
I was as surprised as you were. I had Pink for Me on top. Threw Runaway Gal out, threw Overdriven Cat out. I was pretty suspect with regards to Dandy Rap. I think the last two races that run had been in slop. I don't know about that horse. I never gave Looking at Edie a look.
That's another thing, too. I'm gonna interrupt you on this one. Do bettors out there, do they look at the physical animal before they look at the trainer jock combination?
What kind of bettors are you talking about? The general public.
What do they get into? They get into the morning line.
If you're talking about the general public, those guys that stand in front of you and bet $1 or $2 that you
right.
don't like,
they add up though. They
yeah.
add up.
Yeah, they add up. Thanks for stopping by.
getting in the way.
I think physical appearance does play a factor if the horse
is
what color it is.
No, but
I don't think they're looking at confirmation like you and I are.
No, I look, I'm past confirmation. When you're looking at a maiden claimer or 3,200, we're past confirmation. I'm looking at what I meant by physical, I meant the form, how he looks on form. I'm looking at, if I'm the general public, I'll tell you what I'm looking at. I'm looking at this horse being 4-5 morning line. I'm thinking that someone's telling me that this horse is going to win, and they get caught up in that. And for anyone to disagree on that, I can have a 1-hour special on that just to argue that you are influenced by that 4-5 morning line. When you see a 4-5, it says 4-5 morning line, you keep looking at that horse and going, well, he's 4-5.
Yeah, if this was Family Feud, that'd be the number one answer on the board. Number two would be probably the Becker Santiago angle.
Right.
And three would probably be basing it on what the horse's name is.
Right.
You know, with the general public. But right. Yeah, if they see that, they see that more than 4-5.
Yeah, but I don't put too much on the name. I think they look at what people are betting all around them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they look at the board a lot more. But the very last one, I think, is the one that you and me look at, and that's form on paper.
Sure.
And that's what we look at first, but that's the last thing that they look at.
Yep.
So that's the way it looks on there. Yeah, Dandy Rap didn't look good on form. He was going off at 3-5 morning line and went off at 80 cents to the dollar, took the public's money, and just did not have any answer to any of this. Finished, I think, 5th or 6th. The 6-horse Runaway Gal, Hernandez, won the race, followed by the 4-horse Just Sky, and that was Molina. Went off at nearly 13-1. And then the 5-horse Overdriven Cat, and that was Arietta. And Arietta's, that's the one more here. It's hit the every base now.
He's been in the money every race.
He's won one. He finished second and now he finished third. All right, what the hell's left here? So he's got Overdriven, which came in third, and that went off with a little bit under 4.5-1. I had Runaway Gal coming in second or third. Yeah, I had this one coming in third. I had Pink for me coming in first, but you know what? That's how it goes. Let's move on here. Let's see the price tags on this one. It had to be a good one because you put the 80-cent horse out of commission. The $2 Exacta 6-4, $128 even. $1 Trifecta 6-4-5, $159. $1 Daily Double 2-6, $15. 50-cent Pick 3, 5-2-6, $19.10. I don't get this one. I don't get this one, Jamie. 10-cent Superfecta 6-4-5-1. This is there's no favored here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no favored here. And you're looking at a $37.89. I would have thought that's a little bit more. Should have paid a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
All right.
No money in the pool.
Yeah, there's no money in the pool.
5,000.
We look at July 24th here. Race number 5. Race number 5. We've got a 6 furlong claiming 4,000. And I had on top here Kissin' Rosie. Let's see what happened there. Kissin' Rosie, where the hell are you? Kissin' Rosie.
She went fourth.
Fourth, yeah. That doesn't get the job done here. The winner of this one was the At the Wire. That was Uriel Lopez. You know Uriel Lopez is going to have a word in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to always have one in there. Uriel Lopez gets this one done. Made a nice closing effort here. From the outside, just kept rolling along and got the job done here by 1. Went off at a little bit better than 2.5-1. Followed by the 8-horse Brown Shoes, Tavares. And Tavares, 13-1 here. 13-1. Gave all. Starship Brooklyn. And that was Berrios. Any info on Berrios? Is this a Chicago rider?
I don't know much about Berrios. Question for Christy, probably.
Yeah. Or she Mike. Knows all if they guys. Were yeah. here, Christy or Mike were here, but they're not.
Hint, hint.
Yeah. That was Berrios, and that went off at nearly 4-1 on that one. Let's see what Jono had. Jono had Kissin' Rosie, and I'm never kissing you again, Rosie. Followed by the 6 At the Wire, Lopez Hammond, 3-1. And I had Starship Brooklyn. That was Berrios. So
that Kissin' Rosie's probably one somebody named after their grandma.
I tell you what, too, pal. Let's keep an eye out on this trainer on Starship Brooklyn, the Steam Gal. She has been really on pace here. I mean, she's got one of those Division III type of schools that it's one-on-one attention with the horses. You know, I think it's the same with Silva.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at these. They may not have the biggest barns, but they emphasize on each horse, and that really sometimes that's a big benefit too.
If you're gonna go that route though, let's throw some love to Jimmy Watkins.
Jimmy Watkins, of course, man. And we'll get to Jimmy for Saturday night.
Yep.
He's got one with your horse.
He's got a big weekend ahead of him.
How many does Jimmy have?
We have eight back there right now.
That's eight total.
Eight total.
All right. You see, now he qualifies as that small
Division
III type
of school.
He's
like a mid-major, yeah.
Yeah, not Division II yet. Division III still.
He's in that Blackburn College, McMurray College, Illinois College rank right now.
Right. They didn't win that
much.
But
he's a powerhouse.
Right, okay. All right. So that's what we got there. He's not like Cole College, though.
No.
Not.
He's not like a Mount Union.
Okay. There was one, too, in the what the hell was it? St. Augustine. During the time that I used to play, I mean, St. Augustine was like 45-0. I mean, what the hell was that all about? Okay. Anyway, let's move on here. Let's see the payoffs on this. The 6-8, $90.60. The $1 trifecta, 6-8-3, $305.50. The 10-cent superfecta, 6-8-3-5, $67.55. The $1 daily double, 6-6. $20.70. The 50-cent pick three, 266, $20.15. All right, moving on to race number six. Race number six, we got a 6-furlong allowance optional claiming $5,000. And this one was supposed to be my pick of the day here, and this was supposed to be the one that's still running out there somewhere, and that was Cowgirl Callie. I really thought Cowgirl Callie was going to have a major input in this one, and I don't know what happened. I have no idea. You were out there. What did you see?
You know what? I had this horse in, and this was a prime race to play exotics and just get really cute with it, meaning hoping something big would happen, and I played Cowgirl Callie, which I'll never play again, on top with Ralph's horse, the 10 Sunset Gables.
Uh-huh.
And then I played two or three horses in the second spot, the third spot, and the fourth spot in a try and a super. Cowgirl Callie just never fired. Looked horrible the whole way around the track.
Right.
And just kept falling
back.
Well,
I can't see it on TV. I don't see what the hell's going on back there. You got those nice seats.
Sure.
I thought you might have looked at Cowgirl Callie and go, hey,
wasn't the same horse I saw in the first two times we saw the horse run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it just wasn't her day or what the deal was, but
I mean, it had everything going for it. It had the class,
totally.
Everything. All the stars were aligned for Cowgirl Callie. What mm-hmm. the hell happened to you? Anyway, Cowgirl Callie had no answer, and for my second place, I had GP's girl,
Steve Manley.
Yeah, and I thought, you know what? That's a Manley horse.
Yeah.
Manley horse with a Victor Bailon. Bailon's been running good lately. Bailon had no answer. I didn't see this horse even on the picture here.
Yeah, horse ran a bad race, too. Look at the notes, John. It says the Bailon lost his whip at the quarter, and it shows that he was gaining, but
why the hell are all our horses? One can't get his foot in.
One guy can't get his foot in the irons.
And this guy lost his whip. What the hell's going to happen next?
Lopez fell off a horse earlier.
Is that the one that I seen
that
Roger, the racing director, he ran out in the...
Yeah.
That's all you seen on TVG was someone just running out there.
Yeah.
So was that Uriel Lopez falling off?
Yeah, on I believe the horse was called Arc Flash, Jerry Hammond.
Right, and that was close to the finish line.
Yeah, very close.
Okay.
I think
I was
going to
ask
just,
you about that one.
The horse, I don't think the horse was injured. They ended up watering the horse, getting it up and getting in the trailer. But it was a scary moment, you know. And give Lopez credit. He bounces right back and jumps on pink for me the next race, and then I guess the fifth race he jumped on the horse at the wire and he won. So
we'll back it up a little bit. You mentioned something that's going to be going down this Saturday.
Yeah.
This is going to be nationwide. Tell us a little bit about
that. Every track in the country will have a fundraiser for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. There'll be T-shirts for sale. They take donations. There'll be drawings. It's just a really great organization for jockeys that are disabled due to injury from horse racing or from accidents in horse racing. It's a great organization that is celebrated every year on the same day at tracks across the United States. And I'm not sure if it's done worldwide, but I know it's done nationwide. So
I think that's something beautiful because, these guys don't make a paycheck like you and me do. I mean, these guys, they have to finish in the top three, top four to get anything, right? Am I right or wrong? I mean, that's how these guys live.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's great to, you know, in Fairmont Park gets knocked for not having great purses, but the thing I'll say about Fairmont Park is the crowds are always good, which you can attest to. People are always there having fun. And the support that the track gets, whether it be from volunteers for something like this, give Cindy Medina credit. She does a great job. She was the one that gave you your trophy in the Winner's Circle, by the way.
Really? That was her?
That's her.
I got so caught up in that just being in the Winner's Circle.
She spearheads this whole Disabled Jockeys Fund fundraiser at Fairmont Park, and they're taking volunteers, and she does a great job.
I wish we had Cindy's number. I wish we had her phone number. We could contact or someone, you know, how they want to help out or who they donate to and all this stuff. And I tell you what, folks, it is definitely something that – we know firsthand seeing these jockeys go down. I mean, it's a big impact. It's a big impact. And for these guys, there's no time off some of them.
No.
They get right back up there, and they got broken bones and all that. You know, and we got knowledgeable
absolutely
fans at Fairmont Park.
We do.
We go there on a Tuesday. We go out there whenever we had Friday racing. We go out there Saturday. And I tell you what, Jamie, these fans – are looking at the program, and they're making some nice plays.
Yeah.
I've been to Chicago. No offense, Chicago, but I've been to your Hawthorne, and it's one boring track. It is a boring place. There's not much fans getting into it.
No.
I mean, Fairmont Park is like somewhere you would find somewhere in East Coast.
Yeah,
it's an East Coast type of mentality. These guys are really into it.
Yeah, there's so many people that are staples at that track. You can't start to name the people.
Right.
But every time you go out there, which I haven't missed a live date this year, every time you go out there, you expect to see the same people. And you kind of get excited because you want to see those people and talk to them and see what they have to say.
Your friend, that Moses-looking guy, every time I see him, I lose. I don't know what it is. I can't make eye contact or face contact. I'll just throw that ticket away.
I love seeing the Hatchet Man. I love seeing my man Todd, 618 Racing. Todd is the king of 618 Racing and Illinois Racing, for that matter, whether it be Fairmont, Hawthorne, Arlington. My man loves him some Scotty Becker and Victor Santiago too.
Yeah.
So, but it's so fun to go out there and just see all the people that you want to see. You know, it's like it's like a reunion of sorts every week.
And is it like the way I think? I think your mentality is the same way. It's like you forget about everything, man.
For sure,
forget about everything. It's like our fishing trip.
Yeah,
it's our. As soon as we get back in our cars, it's like wow,
back to reality.
Three, four, 5 hours went so fast.
Yeah.
Well, my point is, we're having a good time out there, but think about our jockeys as well. Think about the disabled jockeys from the past, and let's lend a little hand. Without those little guys, we have nothing.
Yeah, I mean, if you are listening to the show today and you're interested in donating to the PDJF, you know, email Jono or email Brian, and we can get you in contact with the right people.
Yeah, why not?
It would be much appreciated. You know, no amount is too little.
Now, does Cindy Medina, does she have a site on Facebook or anything?
She is on Facebook, yes. Yeah, Cynthia Medina.
Okay, so folks, if you really want to know about that too, and if you want to help out,
get in touch with Cynthia on the Facebook site there, on her personal page. Yeah, just message
absolutely.
Her. Cynthia Medina. All right, that's what we got. Moving on here. Moving on to race number 7. Or did we give the price tags on that? Well, who knows? I'll give it to – no, I didn't. I don't think we did. So here we go. The 8-horse wanted here, Conquest Classic, and that was Berrios. And that went off at 6-1. The 7-horse, Bella Carmella. And that was Thurman. How about that?
She should have won the race.
She should have won the race, huh?
Keep riding hard, Lizzie Thurman. You're going to get one eventually.
All right. All right. It'll probably be against me or something like that. My horse coming down the stretch and you overtake it. That's 7-horse Bella Carmella, and that went off at nearly 5-1. And then the 10-horse here, Sunset Gables. Wow, 23-1 here. Well, let me go one down further here, 11.5-1. So I'm kind of intrigued by this whole superfecta that we're going to see, and that was Tiz Gallatin.
Oh, wait till you see this.
And that was Molina horse. Let's move on down here, the $2 exacta, 8-7, $105.60. The $1 trifecta, 8-7-10, $573.40. The 10-cent super, 8-7-10-6. All right, this is what I'm talking about. $417 and nearly 50 cents on that. So that's not bad at all. The $1 daily double, 6-8, $35.50. And our 50-cent pick 3, 6-6-8. $124.75. And before the show started, you were telling me what you could have had on this one, Jamie.
Yeah, you know, I threw Ralph's horse in with Conquest Classic, Tiz Gallatin, and we also had the three in there, Cowgirl Callie.
Yeah, she blew all the tickets out of there. Yeah,
well, the 7 blew my ticket. I had an 8-7-6-3 in the tri and the super.
Wow. Wow.
I would have hit the try, but.
You had the 10 in there?
Yeah, I loved Ralph's horse in this race.
Hmm.
I did.
I tell you what, that's another little duo that you got to watch, Giles and Martinez.
Yeah,
they
is.
Work well together.
They do.
And Martinez, I kid you not, this is a good character of who he wants on the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not always get the Santiago's or the Molinas, but when he gets a Giles, they seem to work well.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's move on to race number 7, our finale. Finale of Tuesday's matinee racing. And this is a 6-furlong maiden special weight, 8,000. And let's see who the hell we had here. Well, the winner was the 8 MacBoo. And that was Hernandez. Went off at nearly 2-1, close to 2-1. Followed by St. Louis Woman. And that went off at 3-1 on that, the 4-horse, and that was Santiago, Becker combo there. And then we had the 6, Flawless Ikati, and that was Uriel Lopez, and that went off at 5-1. And, well, let's throw one more because it is a superfecta race. Every race is superfecta, but I always like to give the 7th race the superfecta, and that was 2, Swifty Cause, and that was Berrios, and this horse went off at nearly close to 16-1. And I had on here no sign of him. I think there's got to be a back of a milk carton on this one, and that's positioned to dance. I don't know what happened to that horse, the 7 horse. And that horse was, it finished what, 8th, 7th?
Yeah.
And it went off at 7-1, though. I mean, the public didn't buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
for
I
good
had,
reason.
Yeah, and now you got to tell me about that. The 4-horse, I went with St. Louis Woman. Now, St. Louis Woman, this is like the, what, second, third time now finishing second?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still keep stepping up with St. Louis Woman?
Sure you do.
You do?
Sure you do.
Okay.
Got to love the sire out of St. Louis Woman, Galeb, that horse produced.
Do you keep it at this level?
Yes.
Okay. So next time out, St. Louis Woman, we're still banking on you here. We think you're a live horse, and Becker knows where to put the horses. He could shove it right down our face here, too, put a maiden claiming and go 3-5.
Sure.
I've seen it done. So, and then MacBoo had the best power numbers on paper. I mean, it looked solid on paper as the horse to beat. But
horse
you know
won
what?
Easy.
Yeah, but you know what? I went with Position to Dance. I thought Position to Dance looked like the one that closes well and should get the job done. But
Nothing there. Nothing in the tank. What did you have on this one?
You know what? I made the cardinal mistake of betting with my heart instead of my brain.
That happens. This is horse racing.
I know.
Who'd you play?
I played the horse that ran dead last.
That's Allie's Affirm?
No, Rosie's Flame.
Oh, Rosie's Flame. Okay.
The quarter call was 10th. The half call was 10th. Straight was 10th. In the stretch, it was 10th. Finished 10th. I'm going to give this horse a pass. Here's why. Seabreath looked like he was scared to death on the horse, like he'd never ridden a horse before in his life, and just
got on the most horse unprofessional, like a carnival ride
or something? Yeah, one of the most unprofessional rides I've seen out there this year. No offense to Zach, but...
Well, that is a little offending.
Well, it is what it is.
Dude. It is what it is. I don't care either.
With all due respect, how about that?
Yeah, that's cool.
Just never gave the horse a shot. Horse was on the rail, starts in the one post, has good early speed, at least from its works. It just never gave the horse a shot. So, but like you said earlier, I'm sticking with St. Louis Woman the next time out in this spot. I will bet the horse back.
Yeah. Yeah. It keeps getting on to be the second runner-up. So I think Becker will have this horse readied up next time out and look for St. Louis Woman with big results here with a diploma in her hand. Like I said, the race rating on this one was 54, and the highest rating on this one was a 50, and that was MacBoo. So we got that, and let's see what we had on our exact payoffs here. The exact 8-4, $31.20. The $1 trifecta, 8-4-6, $61.20. The 10-cent superfecta, 8-4-6-2, $31.87. The $1 daily double, 8-8. $27.80. The 50-cent pick three, 688. That paid $91. And the 50-cent pick four, 6688. $335.90. I think I hit 3 out of 4 on that one.
Nice.
All right, that don't pay it though. That doesn't get the job done. Let's move on to racing for this coming Saturday. This coming Saturday, post time. We'll be at 7:30. I think weather's going to be pretty nice out there, too.
It's supposed to be nice again this weekend, yes. Yeah.
And let's go out here to race number one. Race number one, 7:30 post time, Saturday night, and that's July 28th. And I'll tell you what, Jamie, I've been really hot with these 350-yard sprints. I've been hitting it. I've been on target with it. I've been visualizing it. I'm like Nostradamus, I tell you. You got to believe me. All right, so the first race here is a 350-yard claiming 8,000, and I'm going with the three-horse here on top, BM, One Rare Rocket, Tavares, Maupin, and that's a 2-to-1 favorite here, and I think the jockey change might be the answer. That's what I'm buying into, the whole jockey change. The three-horse on top, followed by the four, Jules Perry, and that is Lopez Griffin, and that's a 3-to-1. And I've always said this to you. In these quarter horse racing, I don't like the two together like that I'm betting on. I just don't like them two together. I just feel that one bumps the other all the time and it throws mm-hmm. one off. But I think these two stand out. Jules Perry, and that's a 3-to-1 horse. Followed by the 5 here, Blakely, and that's Giles Widower. And I got that one going off at 6-to-1. And this horse has been off close to a year. Jock plays a big role. We got a big move up here.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a play right here. First race, we're gonna take a shot with the 5, Blakely. I know we talk about it all the time.
I'm going to bet you a beer on this one.
I'll bet you a beer on this
one. All right, so we got a beer, a bet on this one. I got the 3-horse on the top. Book you got it. The 5-horse.
I got the 5, Blakely.
Blakely, and I got the BM one.
Yeah, horses coming over from Prairie Meadows. I like this horse a little bit. Dropping down a little bit here.
Well, you're getting a nice price, too, 6-to-1, six morning to one. Line.
The only thing I'm not crazy about is I go back and I look at its starts. It has a little problem getting out of the gate. But I feel like new track, they got Francisco Giles up. Today's the day, graduation.
Well,
so I put Blakely on top, followed by the three BM1 Rear Rocket, and then the two Ivory Mission.
And here's another thing about your Blakely that I didn't care for. I looked at Blakely. I didn't like it. Hasn't run since last year of October. Mm-hmm. And they've only had this horse work one time this year. And yep. I don't think that that's enough. I think you have to have a little bit more into that engine before you go in a big race like this.
But we are talking about 350-yard sprints, not mile races. So.
Right, right. But I'm telling you, you got to dig in. You got to dig in. You got to, you know, get those muscles loosened up, you know?
I got a beard that says the
five. I got a beard too, pal. All right, race number two, race number. And, folks, this is what it is like at Fairmont Park. This is what friends do. It's a great time. Second race here, we got a 1 mile, 70 yards, claiming 3,200. And would you like to tell us who you got on top here?
Yeah, you know who I have on top here. I am all over this horse, the five, Malagar.
Malagar, that's the one I got too. Go ahead.
This is the horse that was disqualified the last time out with Javier Diego up. Javi, just ride the horse home this time, please.
Nothing fancy.
Don't get cute. Just get ready for the picture in the winner's circle, pal.
No triple axles on the horse or anything.
So, I like the five, Malagar.
But the question now is the second and third place on this one was like a wide open. Who'd you go with?
You know what? I like the one, Silent Congrats. Horse typically runs in Chicago, but it's run last two at Fairmont.
I hate this horse a little bit.
Ran second the first time down here by 4.5, and then last time
it blew a gasket.
It got checked. It got squeezed at the start and got checked. I'm gonna throw that race out if I'm handicapping it, which we are.
Jamie, he still came back and he had the lead though. I mean, it took a lot out of him.
He got checked and squeezed at the start, and it took a lot out of him to get back in the race. So. I'm throwing that last race out.
I think we got another beer bet coming on this one, too.
And I know who you're going to take, but I like the four, the Ridge.
All right.
I think that horse was pretty long the last time, and it won. No, paid four to one, something like that. But I like the five with the one with the four.
You got 5-1-4?
Yes, sir.
I have on this one, I went with the five on top. Okay. Malagar. I went with the Ridge coming in second here. I think it's going to duel with the one horse. I think it puts the one horse away. I think the Ridge moves up, followed by WW Aces Up, and that is Roman Hernandez 4-1. And I tell you why I like this one. Throw that last race out there. Throw that last race out. It was on turf. One after that, I mean, he's just competitive throughout. He gets it going, likes this distance a lot. I think I'm expecting the Ridge and WW Aces Up to be battling down the stretch. I like the Ridge's portfolio. This is when this horse does pretty good when he's running this distance. Mm-hmm. Now the horse that you got that's going to probably end up being the favorite, and that is the Victor Santiago Becker. I mean, this horse... You're seeing a trend here. It's not the first time you're seeing this, too. It likes to, right around the stretch, gets around the stretch, it starts getting weaker. I think there's going to be a lot of heat on this horse. It starts backing up. That's the way I look at it. And plus, you're looking at a horse that's been running three life compared to the Ridge here. Ran an open 3,200, a little tougher race here. I just like the Ridge to be up there before... the crowd favorite, and that's when you make money here, folks, because people start buying into the crowd favorite. 2-1. They're going to look at the Becker horse, probably end up going off at 6-5, and you can make some money here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to race number three. Race number three, we've got a 6-furlong maiden claiming 4,000, and this is these are bottom horses again. Let's see what we got here. Who do you got here, Jamie?
I'm going to go with the first-time starter, Code to Win, and not because it's a Scotty Becker or Sturrett's horse or Santiago's up, but I'm going solely based on the fact that it's a Galeb horse. The sire is Galeb.
Mm.
Gray Roan. works are okay. Its last work was a little suspect. Breezing going four at 52-4. The work before that was okay. The work before that was real nice. Went 3-35.
First time LASIX on this horse.
First time LASIX. I really like. I'm going to give this horse a shot. I honestly don't think the horse will be 4-1 when the gate opens. I think it'll be more like 2-1 or something like, you know, something along those lines. Or
well, I mean, if you look at Becker's form on first timers, he's 24% with first timers. Yeah. That's really good. Maiden claiming level at this level here, we're looking at 42%. The thing that I don't like about this one, Jamie, the barn is what you call a Division I barn, all right? They obviously see this horse having some sort of issues. First-time starter, when's the last time you've seen a first-time starter go right in a maiden claiming 4,000 on the Sturritz barn? No, you don't hardly see it. What they normally do is they demote the horse down, and then they play it at this level. Do you ever see a Becker horse starting off at maiden claiming first-time starter at 4,000?
Very rarely.
That's my point. That's my red flag right there. And they could spend their money on this one. I'm going to back off of it. I'm going to keynote what Becker's showing me, his cards on this one, and I'm going to back off that one, and I'm going with the line of denims, and that is Lopez Hammond, the 5 horse here. Let's check him out real quick. And I tell you what, he's dropping in class. This is what I like to see. You ran a 20,000 maiden special weight this year. You ran a maiden special weight, 27,000 maiden special weight. And then you dropped it down to maiden special weight, 9,500. You're still not making progress. So what's the – this is how trainers and owners got to work together. They got to say, hey, you know what? We're not winning at this level.
Drop it in the lowest level.
Drop it down. Let's get the job done here. And I like this horse going off at 5-1. 5-1 is a great price for this horse. Followed by the 6 horse, Christmas Cookie. And that's Balon and Hammond again. And what I did here, it's the same concept, but then you look at Hammond. Who does Hammond give the best mounts to?
Uriel Lopez.
Uriel Lopez had the choice here of the two. And Hammond said, get on this horse. So I picked this horse to be coming second, and that is the 6-horse Christmas Cookie. And then I went with Code to Win. I think this horse gets up there at the very end, but nothing to write home about. And then I got Thundering Richie, Hernandez Lynch, and that's a 3-1 horse. Where the hell is that horse at? The 3-1. And that's a cheap horse. A cheap horse, likes to run at this distance. And just lost by a head last time out, and that's why it's getting love at 3-1 morning line. So that's what we have.
Let me just give you something on that Becker horse. I'm trying to sell this pretty hard. I'm going into full salesman mode.
Okay. I'm your customer.
Okay, you gave the number that Becker is 24% on maiden claiming races.
Maiden claiming, yeah.
Okay. I would bet you if we look this up for
another beer you want to bet, or what?
I'll bet you another beer. We look this up for the next show. If you go as far back as to look at those maiden claiming races or maiden races, and you look up the sire Galeb, those Galeb maiden races, I bet you that percentage goes north of 50-60.
I'm not questioning that.
I'm just giving you the facts.
But I'm also giving you this fact. If they knew that this horse was Galeb's offspring that's going to be doing this or that, you would have seen this horse up at Arlington taking a pop at $25,000, $35,000 maiden special weight, right?
You could have.
Well, yeah, that's the way this barn works. They don't like to drop a horse down first time out maiden claiming for 4,000. That's just the way this barn works. I haven't seen it. Have you seen that? No.
No.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on here. Let's move on to race number 4. We got a 1 mile allowance optional claiming 10,000. And let me start this show off here. Let me start this one off. And I'm going with the 4 horse on top. And that is Great Scat. You can't
argue with this one. Yeah, you can't put up a fight. This horse won by 11 lengths last time out. This horse was opening up, only getting stronger at the end. I think this 4-5 is a legit beast in this race here. I'm going with Great Scat, the maiden special weight winner at 8,000 to open up on this one as well.
I'm with you there. I don't think there's any question that that is definitely the 4-5 morning line favorite, and for good reason.
And then I went with Rock Music. Rock Music, and that's the horse right underneath it at 8-1. And this is like it found its perk cheap, though. It ran cheap and did something swell. But you know what? It's tough. It's a tough one. Morning line to 8-1 on this one. I think this horse can bounce back here and get second, fight off the pack. Well, what's your call on that one? They paid $475,000 for this horse, and now it's down to a $3,200 claimer.
Wow. The breeding's unbelievable on the horse. Tap it out of a Dixieland band mare.
I mean, this is a horse that had expectations.
It definitely has the rating to run in this group. I don't think anybody's going to beat Great Scat, but I do like your pick with the 5, especially at 8-1. And then I'd probably follow that up with the other Becker horse, Dancing Position, with okay. Roman Hernandez.
What number is that?
He's the 1.
He's the 1?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dancing Position. I like this horse on the closing style. Ran 2 allowance optional claimings. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But you know what? I went a little different here as well for my show ticket. I took Robbie Jones, the 3 horse. And Robbie Jones, you know, again, it's one of those maiden special weight winners. Finds a whole new field. It took on Great Scat last time before that and finished 5th. You know what? I think Robbie Jones will have enough to get in the back end of my trifecta or in my super for sure. That's what we have on that race. All right. Moving on to race number 5. Race number 5 kind of hits home here because our man Jamie, he's got this horse. And you know what? Why don't you describe the race to us? What do you see here?
What do we have?
We got a 6 furlong claiming 3,200. And your horse is in this race.
9 winners of 2 of the year, 9 winners of 4 of life. Yeah, we've got a 6 horse field. I'd love to sit here and tell you that I'm going to bet against my horse, but I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I love this horse. This race should set up for us well, get a little bit of pace in front of us. You got the best rider on the grounds on the horse, Victor Santiago. This horse is just a hard trying mare. And if the race sets up for us like I think it will, this horse will come closing and should win the race pretty easily.
Jamie, we watched your race last time out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a passive ride throughout.
Sure.
You had this horse back, and then this horse put on a great move. And it was just so far back. I mean, if they took the time with your stretch run compared to the other horse in the stretch run, this horse blew it. Now, with the improvement of the jockey here, Santiago, I think Santiago does not tolerate being 10 back, 9 back, 8 back. This guy wants to keep this horse at least 3 back. 2 or 3 back.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what Infinitive does then. I love Infinitive in the spot because when we seen him run last time, we looked at each other and go, hey, this horse was the best horse in the race here. I look for Infinitive to have a big day here, and that's Santiago Watkins, and I got the owner sitting right across from me. Morning line 7-2, the clear standout. This may be my play of the day. And I tell you what, Carol's Case will hold her own. I think Carol's Case has proven that she can run against Infinitive. They went back and forth a couple times here. Mm-hmm. And I think that Carol's Case gets the second place prize, followed by the 4 horse, maybe a suspect, and that's Diego and Bahena. And did you see Bahena's track record here?
I mean, this is one.
It's very good.
Yeah, this is one when he's putting his horses in. That's a live horse, and he's at 44% win clip here. So he poses a threat. I don't think he's taking on your horse, but in any case, this horse, I think, will be in our trifecta. I think it's time for our horse to prevail here, and I think you're sitting on the right spot here with Infinitive, the five horse. Let's move on to race number six. Race number six, we got a 6 furlong allowance optional claiming 10,000. And I went with Chalky here, Chalky. And that was the 3 horse. I went with Star Magnus, Santiago Doris. And I'll tell you what, with this case on Star Magnus, you're looking at a horse here that you look at the other forms, the track record, there's always a Star Magnus in Bull Black that this horse has beaten against this field. So I think Star Magna stands out here. He's taken the crowd down before. I look for a 3-4 and a big exacta box. This is my exacta box play today, the 3-4. And the 4 is Mary Jean's Wildcat, and that's Molina Essen Price. I think those two are the clear standouts here. And then we go to Miss Hopper. Miss Hopper, of course, you're looking at the form. She's run at Churchill Down. She's got... I know she's been in the 2 Life and all that, but I'll tell you what, man, this horse is coming from a nice track too. Ellis, Churchill Downs. So I'm looking at this horse being part of the trifecta, maybe the back end of the tri, definitely in my superfecta. So that's what I have here. I have a 3-4-5. What do you got here, babe?
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. The first two places, the 3-star Magna. And then the 4, Mary Jean's Wildcat. I kind of like Miss Hopper a little bit. Not sure if it's in the right spot or not right now.
This is the time.
I can't put any stock in the 6 with Don Martin's horse.
Right.
Don't know much about it. Looks like she started training the horse.
Class rating, though, that 6 is maybe
six
like.
Is way ahead of the 5 class
exactly,
rating.
Exactly.
So, you know, but it's been running at Turfway Park, claiming 5,000, non-winners of 2 Life, and hasn't done too much.
Yeah.
I would go as far as saying, too, that the 3-4 would be an exact play of the day for us.
Yeah, so
I'm
when
with
you're
you.
Building up all your cash, all this money that you're making, here we go. We're going to load it up on a 3-4-4-3 exacta box. That's what we have. That's what we have on race number 6. And, folks, like I've said in the past, look for YoRadio.com. YoRadio.com is a music app. It's all free. Download any type of free music you got. We got all sorts of different musics out there, and you guys can be a part of it. That's YoRadio.com. Moving on to race number 7. Race number 7 is a 6 furlong claiming 3,200. And I got 2 horses once again that stand out, and that is the 2-horse. I got Bull Ransom here, Tavares Wilborn, 3-1. And I tell you what, this horse had some issues last time out. This horse, let me pop it up on my screen here. Jamie, just hang on. Don't be throwing anything at me here. Bull Ransom runs a starter optional claiming. The last 3 at Fairmont Park, and the last 5 out of the 6 here, folks, the last 3 out of the 5, this horse has had problems. It's bobbled. It's hesitated. It's lost ground. I think this horse can beat the crowd favorite here, Even Fever. That's what I have. But, again, I'm looking at these two as a crowd favorite and the stands out. On the standout here with my exacta. I got a 2-3-3-2. What do you got here, babe?
You know, I'm with you here on the 2-3 or the 3-2. Another solid exacta box play. I think those are the only 2 horses in the race, to be honest with you. You know, we got to talk about the 5 horse a little bit because you might know something about that horse.
Yeah, I know a little bit about the 5. I claimed the 5 at Oaklawn Park. Do you know they don't even call it by its name? Don't change the trainer. Every morning when Thurman gets on the horse, she asks for Jono. They call that Jono.
in the barn, that's what they've named the horse, Jono.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, they've named that horse after me there because they don't like the name. And I don't like the name either. Don't change trainer. That's a lot of wording there. But I got the five. I think the five will be in my superfecta. Jono will. That's don't change trainers. And I don't give it much stock in this time around. I just don't. I think it's in a tough spot. I don't think it got the jockeys that it wanted. I think once Even Fever got in there, then he couldn't use Santiago. Then when Mr. Hungry got in there, he couldn't use Molina because that's a manly horse. And so, you know, that's the way I look at it. But I got the five being up there on the back end of my super. We're looking at a 2-3-1-5 is what I'm saying.
Let me ask you a question about that horse since you were the one that dropped the claim on it.
Yeah.
What did you see in that horse that made you like it so much?
All right, let me look at the form.
Get your insight, because I see something that I really like. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but I see something January 16th, 2016 that I love.
January 16th of 16?
Yep.
All right.
You were probably looking at that race when you claimed it.
And you know what? I'm looking at this race as you're looking at a starter, 7,500, and ran a 90. 90's not bad. And then it took on some good foes there. It took on some.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. It took on some heat there. And you know what?
So the horse that won that race, Domain's Rap.
Right.
That horse, I think, ran second in the Oakland Handicap last or 2017. Hmm. I mean, you talk about a class horse. That horse is in great company in that starter 75 race
and
there, man.
It popped on that score right there, a 90.
A 90.
And that's
fifth by 8 or 9 1/4. But
this horse on form, folks, runs open, likes to take on anyone.
Yep.
But the problem is he was coming off an injury. I think he had a cracked bone on his leg or something like that. We let it heal. We let it heal for about 5-6 months, came back, and we got a couple starts out of him. He started getting rusty again. I couldn't hang on to him. You know, it's one of those things, and as an owner, you just don't have the time for it. You got to let it go. You got to pass it. And I did pass it. I gave it to my trainer here, Tommy Tryon, and now the horse is in this race here. Let's see what the hell happens. I wish nothing but the best for Tommy. Personally, I hope the horse wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, why the hell not? I don't care. Like I've said in the past, though, you know, every race, the fans, every 15, 18, 20 minutes, you own that horse. You own that horse. When you got that ticket in your hand or in your wallet or you put it in your wife's pocket or whatever, or even your wife made the play, these folks have some sort of a stock in that horse. After that race, they're done.
Yep.
And it's kind of different than when you own Don't Chain Trainers, mm-hmm. and it comes back with a cracked bone.
Yep.
And then you got to wait till it heals and all that stuff. So it's a whole different ball game. I say if you're out there playing away, just keep doing it. Pretend you have a whole racehorse in your stable there. By the way, how happy were those people sitting next to us enjoying that night that we put them in the winner's circle?
They were ecstatic.
Yeah. They even said, how do we follow Garrison Commander now? All right, folks, I got a couple winners, too, that I hope we'll get in the winner's circle. And this is for Ellis Park, August 28th, and this is the 8th race. I got the 2-horse here, Nigons. That's N-I-I-G-O-N-S, Nigons or Nigons, Glory. And it shot a big number here in 92 that I'm very fond of here at Ellis Park, followed by the 11 Tone Daddy and the 7 here, Rise Up. So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this one right here. I'm looking at a 4-horse, $1 tri box. If you guys are going to play, I like the 2-horse very, very much in this race 8. But if you want to box it, I got a 2-7-8-11. That's Nigons or Nigons Glory, followed by the 7, Rise Up, the 8, Quality Rolls, and 11 here, Tone Daddy. That's the 8th race at Ellis Park, August 28th. Put a $1 try box, and then maybe play that Nygon's Glory for on its head there, the two horse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have. We're going right back to Woodbine. Woodbine, I love Woodbine. And let's look at the fifth race. We got a fifth race here. We're going with the 1-5 Exacta Box. 1-5 Exacta Box. And that is Hemp Hooray. The old Hemper. How about that? Hemp Hooray. That's a 5-2 horse. Followed by the Wyattstown. And that is 2-1. And so that's Woodbine. Fifth race. We're going with the 1-5. And 5-1 Exacta Box. And let's go with the sixth race here, the four-horse, 5-2, Wall Street Wolf. Needs a late seam. This one could open it up here, folks. I'm telling you, it's had problems the last two, three times. Hasn't found. It's tried. It's stuck its head in there. Just the walls caved in on it. But this time, the horse comes through and finds that late seam and gets the job done here. And that's the four-horse on race number six, the 5-2 Wall Street Wolf. You got to like the name too, Jamie. Wall Street Wolf.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
All right, my friends, that's what we have this week. And I hope to see you guys out there. Where are you going to be, Jamie? You're going to be at your normal spot?
Yeah, I'll be upstairs.
Upstairs? You're going to be upstairs. And I hope to see you running down to get in that winner's circle. Nothing like seeing a friend get in that winner's circle, man. It puts a great smile on your face, a great grin, seeing your buddy in there. And, I know what it's all about. It's enjoyable. From Jamie, Jono, and our producer back there, Brian, thank you. Keep cashing those winning tickets. We'll see you next time.
Tune in next week for another episode of Race Day at Fairmount Park on the lineupmedia.fm network. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or through our website, FairmountParkPodcast.com, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter. There's a perfect time when you're tempted.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.